Great. Is everybody happy?
Yes.
Glad you're here?
Yes.
If you're not happy you're here, now is the best time to get up and leave and go and do something else, okay? Just to let you know. This word is going to change your life.
Yes.
Shake your world.
Yes.
Make you a happy person.
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Just stand up. Turn around to two or three others, grab hold of them, shake them, smile at them, tell them they are just the best, that you love them, appreciate them. Okay, so much stuff up here. It's not... Excuse me, I'm just having a clean up. God, Gary, are you like this at home, Gary, or what? Mate, you could start, you've chopped the rainforest down here, mate, the amount of paper you've got up here. There's more paper up here than I've got in my Bible by the look of it. Okay, great. I love you, mate. Don't we love Gary? Isn't he a great guy? Great. Okay, just grab your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 4. The last few weeks, we've had, I believe, a very significant few weeks. And in the last few weeks, we've been having, in some ways, a fresh encounter with God. A few weeks ago, we didn't have any preaching on a Sunday morning. The whole thing kind of just flowed, and we met with God, and God has been talking about that he's here for the taking, and whatever he wants to do is here for the taking, and just that encouragement for that fresh spontaneity in our lives to abandon ourselves to God. Now, in the world, the word abandon is generally a negative phrase because people get abandoned or they get left on their own. But there's also a very positive side to abandonment, which is throwing everything off your life that restricts you from moving forward. Abandonment is kind of, with God, is and his abandonment towards us is him giving himself to us without any limits, without any restrictions, without holding anything back. And I believe God is encouraging us at this time that he doesn't want to withhold or hold anything back from us at this time, whether individually or together as a church. And so we've been kind of encouraged, if you like, by the Holy Spirit to really press in there with him, to have a spontaneity, to have that fresh cry in our hearts or that desire in our hearts to for him to break out in a new way, a fresh way, in us and through us, in our lives personally, but also as a church. Now, also God has kind of, in those moments, has been reminding us as to who we are as a body of people, what the call is upon Kingdom Faith. That it's very easy to have a certain way of thinking that church has to be done in a certain way, or that as a church we're here to do the usual church things. And the only way forward for us as a church is to stick as close as we possibly can to the call that God has placed upon us as Kingdom Faith. That God calls us here, firstly, to be part of the call and purpose that he has given, not just to be part of a church in which then we find a vision. But God has called you, called me here, called each one of us here as part of the vision that he has given, that is to be outworked locally, to be outworked in the nation, and to be outworked in other nations. And we kind of touched a little bit on why do we worship like we do? Why do we pray like we do? Why do we have a faith dynamic like we do? Why do we believe for the things that we do? Why do we dare to talk about the things locally and in the nation and beyond in the way we do? Because God has spoken. God has put a kind of revival spirit. He's put a spirit of faith inside of us. He's put a big kind of minded, big kind of understanding of the purposes of God. The status quo doesn't do it for us. That we're not content just to settle with the way things could be, might be, or supposed to be in terms of most people's thinking of church and the kingdom of God. But God has put something in us to rise above all that kind of thing, to go beyond what church, most people think church is here for, and to put something different in us that is going for something that is absolutely impossible for man, but totally possible for God. Now, within that, these last few weeks, we had last week. Now you can think, well, what on earth has last week got to do with the call on kingdom faith and encountering God and meeting with God? Why have somebody from Israel come and speak in the first meeting about Israel and the second coming and how they link together? What has that got to do with the church? And in the second meeting, Chuck Cohen spoke about intercession. And they're both, those messages are on the website. You can download both of those so you get part one and two of what he brought in the morning. Then in the evening, we had, as part of the prayer launch for this last week, we showed the Forsaken Promise, the abbreviated 40-minute program. And then at the end of that, prayed and responded to the Lord. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a while. But right in the middle of God saying, I want that fresh spontaneity and that breaking out of my Holy Spirit in a fresh way, individually and corporately, God reminding us of vision and purpose and why we're here, we have a prayer week where we felt it was right to pray for the nation, this nation, and for Israel. And then without us trying to organize it, this guy was available and he came last Sunday, right at the beginning of a week of prayer to do with about this nation, about Israel. And he brought a word to do with Israel and probably for many of us helped to give even more understanding of the purposes that God has for that nation and how we as the church are part of that, grafted into that, but also how as a nation we have certain responsibilities to the nation of Israel because of certain mandates and responsibilities that were given to our nation in response to the land, to the people that we have kind of reneged on, we've turned back on. And as a result, there are certain consequences in our nation going on now because we reneged on things that we were given as responsibility early last century and then after the war, where the Second World War, where we kind of turned back on our responsibility. And there's effects of that now that we are living in and effects in our nation. Now, again, I'm going to come to those also in a little while. Now, something that I thought was very powerful in the second meeting, he talked about a scripture in Jeremiah 31, verse 6. And in that verse, he talked, there's a word, watchman. And he's talking about the watchman praying for Zion. But he said that word, watchman, actually, in modern day translation, is different than most of the use of watchman in the Old Testament. And he said, in modern day language, the word watchman in that verse means Christian. Now you think, wow, Jeremiah didn't understand that or didn't know that in the time. But he said, if you take the word watchman from Jeremiah 31:6 and you translate the actual word used there in the original, and you translate, what does that word mean now? It means Christians. And what that verse is saying is that when the Christians pray for the nation of Israel or for Zion to be restored or to be built up or for the salvation of that nation. And it was like, wow. Now you might sit there and go, well, what on earth's that got to do with it? Now what a prophetic scripture to have in the Old Testament about something Jeremiah didn't understand or conceive at all. It was from the Spirit of God. This guy comes and is encouraging us and helping us to understand what the purpose of God is for Israel and the church and for us as a nation. And then it talks about the building up of Israel will take place when also the Christians are praying for that nation. And we've just had a week of praying for the nation of Israel and for our own nation. Now, I want to come back to these things, okay? First of all, I want to read a few different verses, and we're going to pick up on a particular word that I believe God wants us to really understand, and that will hopefully, if we respond to the word of God, would change the way we think, the way we treat one another, but first and foremost, the way we are towards God, okay? So I want to read a few things to you. Revelation 4, we'll start in verse 11. You are worthy, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Just turn it to chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Just turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 verse 7. Or the second part of verse 6. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. Just turn to 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Just turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, there's one word that is in every one of those verses, and that word is honor. Now, we're used to using the word, let's glorify the Lord. Let's really magnify his wonderful name. Or we talk a lot about praising God. Let's praise him. Let's worship him. Let's really give him everything that we've got or whatever, okay? But one of the words that we don't often use is the word honor. Now, a number of years ago, we had some teaching in one particular revival conference where God really did something talking about honoring the anointing. But at that moment, during that particular conference, it was more about honoring God and the presence of God than it was just about honoring the anointing on people. It was actually about honoring God and who he is, and honoring his presence and honoring what he's about. And as that kind of unfolded over the next few years, the focus of it kind of moved from, instead of having that whole focus of this is about honoring God, a lot of emphasis came on honoring man and honoring the anointed on the man. And in some ways, the focus became too man-centered than it did actually honoring who God is. And one of the things that God wants us to understand is that if we're going to see the purposes of God taking place, then there needs to be an honoring of who he is, an honoring of his name, but also an honoring of his word and an honoring of his purpose. Because we know how to glorify the Lord. We know how to praise God. We know how to give thanks to the Lord. But God wants to bring this word honor to the fore. Now, what does the word honor actually mean? The word honor actually means to esteem, or to very highly respect. It means to revere or to have reverence for. It means to hold out before you. And it also means to give prominence. So the word honor means to esteem, to have a great degree or very high respect, to have reverence for the one that you're honoring, to hold out whatever or whoever you're honoring, to hold that thing or that person out before you, or to give prominence. so that whoever you're honoring juts out, whoever you're honoring is seen. To honor somebody means, first of all, you have to humble yourself to honor somebody, to give them prominence. To revere them means to take second place to who they are. And taking second place to somebody, or to give them honor, or to revere who they are, or to humble yourself before them, says, I'm prepared to put myself second. I'm prepared to put my understanding, my thoughts, my desires, my preferences, my perceptions, whatever I want, I'm prepared to humble those things, bring them under your lordship. And what I want to do is honor you in my life, honor your word, honor the truth, honor your authority, honor the grace, honor who you are, honor your name over everything in my life. And so therefore I want to humble myself, humble my understanding, humble my attitudes, humble my responses. Now, if we say, come on, let's all stand up, let's glorify the Lord, what will we do? We'll all jump up and go, oh, hallelujah, praise you, you know. We start glorifying the Lord. Or if I said, okay, come on, let's praise the Lord, we'd all get up and the band would get up and, oh, thank you, Jesus, you're amazing, hallelujah, na-na-na-na-na, and all that. And we would just begin to praise God. But if I said, come on, let's really honor God, what would we do? We'd probably praise and glorify and everything. But to honor is to have reverence. Now, when you look at the word reverence, what does it mean to revere and to have reverence for somebody? Or in terms of the Bible, it talks about the fear of the Lord. To honor God, to be in reverence, in awe of who he is to be in fear of him. Not afraid of God, but a fear of the Lord that humbles, that makes you humble yourself, that says, God, I want to bow down to you. I want to kneel before you, and I want to put all my attitudes, all my perceptions, all the relationships, all the frictions, all the whatever's going on, good, bad, the ugly. God, I want to honor you. So I choose to get on my knees, not just physically, but in my heart, in my mind, in my emotions, in my spirit, in every way. God, I want to bow before you, and I want to honor you. I want to revere you. I want to you to jut out so that you're seen and so that I'm not seen. I want you to have prominence. I want you to be the one that I'm holding out. God, I want to honor you in everything, in the little secret things, the secret thoughts and attitudes and desires, the way I think about other people, the way I respond to situations, through to the massive things to do with our nation and the call and the purpose you've given to our nation, the call and purpose that you have on this church while we're here. God, I want to submit myself. I want to honor you to the smallest little thing that goes on in my mind and my heart, through to the biggest, most awesome things that are so far beyond me, so far beyond us as a church. God, I want to humble myself and come under your lordship, your majesty, your purpose, your call, because you're the one who wants to be honored. You're the one who wants his name to be made great. And so, God, I want to honor you. So therefore, I just humble myself, come before you, lay down my heart, lay down my attitudes, lay down everything that's going on, because I want to honor you. Now, that's what the word honor means. It means to humble yourself to one that is greater in everything, from the smallest heart attitude to the greatest purpose that God might have for the church or for any nation. And so what we're talking about this morning is on two levels. One is our personal honoring of him. And secondly is the corporate honoring of him in terms of his purpose for the church in this nation and how he's called us to be. Just turn to Numbers 25. Interesting, in those verses that we read out, the ones in Revelation are very much about praise and glory and honor. The whole focus is the majesty of God, how awesome he is. But then there are a couple of other scriptures we read out that were like, your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, therefore honor God with your body. Also talked about in Proverbs, honor God with your wealth, with your finances, which is probably the toughest area for people to really honor God in. Because money seems to be the closest thing that people don't want to let go of or just have a very free attitude with. But then also in Deuteronomy 5 and in other scriptures, Matthew chapter 5, it talks about honouring your father and mother. If you honour your father and mother, it will go well with you. It's like there's a personal level of honouring according to how God has told us to honour ourselves and our own bodies and how that honours him. How we honour one another and treat one another, respect and wants other people to have prominence more than ourselves. And also those, but then to that massive degree of God being honoured, his purpose being honoured. Now, in Numbers 25, I'm going to read quite a few verses and then just say a few things from here. Start at the beginning of the chapter. While Israel was staying in that nice place there, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before these gods. So Israel joined in worshipping the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of these people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to Israel's judges, "Each of you must put to death those of your men who have joined in worshipping the Baal of Peor." Then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Now, if you're not really understanding what's going on here, Israel are obviously prostituting themselves against God. The Israelites are taking women from other nations, outside of their own people, which God said they couldn't do. And they're worshipping false gods and idols. And then right in the middle of the presence of God, when they're before the tent of meeting, right in that place, one of the Israelites brings a woman, a Midianite or Moabite, who shouldn't even have been in the presence of God. And so right into the presence of God, the presence of what God wants to do at that moment, somebody brings completely what is not acceptable to God. But he brings this woman in. And it's like, well, it's okay. What's the problem? I'm doing something that God doesn't want me to do. Who cares? I'll bring this woman, what she represents, into the presence of meeting, where the tent of meeting was, because it doesn't really matter. I want to live my life, do my own thing. So if I'm doing something God doesn't want to do, I'll bring that person or this situation right into the presence of God. God's not going to mind. Now what happens? The Israelite man, verse 6, brought his family, a Midianite woman, right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel, while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When, however you pronounce that name, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear through both of them, through the Israelite and into the woman's body. Then the plague against the Israelites stopped, but those who had already died were 24,000. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites, for he was as zealous as I am for my honor among them, so that in my zeal I did not put an end to them. Therefore, tell him I am making my covenant of peace with him, and he and his descendants will have a covenant of a lasting priesthood, because he was zealous for the honor of his God and made atonement for the Israelites." Well, so here we have God's people worshiping false gods, bringing people into their midst or into their situation that God said you're not to do, right before the eyes of Moses, right into this gathering, right, and even into the tent of meeting. So this Israelite, in his disobedience, brought this woman right into the tent of meeting. He didn't just bring her into the camp. He brought her right into where the presence of God was. Man, no wonder there was a plague that was killing off some of the Israelites at that time because of the way they were living. God's anger was red hot. But in the middle of that moment, one guy got hold of a spear. But why? Because the Lord said to Moses, because he was zealous for the honor of my name. He went and got a spear, followed the man and the woman into the tent of meeting, put a spear right through them. Why? Because that man who put the spear through, he wanted to cut out everything that was right against the purposes of God. Things that had come right into the tent of meeting, right into the center of the church, right into the center of Christian thinking, church lifestyle, church culture, the way that lots of Christians think. It's like somebody had zeal for the honor of the Lord's name and said, we need to put an end to the unrighteousness, the prostitution, in terms of going against the purposes of God. And we need to cut that right out, right in the tent of meeting, right where the heart and the presence of God is, because there was no honoring of his name. There was no fear of the Lord. So the Israelites were bringing all kinds of people in, doing all kinds of things with them, because there was no fear of God. There was no honor of his name. There was no understanding of the purposes of God. God's anger was burning, and one young guy got over it with a spear, put that spear right through those two people to kill off and to cut out the unrighteousness. Now, we have, I believe, a warning from God at this time. Last week in the evening, we showed the Forsaken Promise. And I'm just going to read some of the things off the back of the DVD cover here. But we have certain ways of thinking in the church that are not in line with God's word. Because, I don't just mean this, I mean the church in this nation. There's certain ways of thinking that are not in line with the word of God to do with the nation of Israel. Like replacement theology. That God has finished with the nation of Israel, he's finished with the Jews, he's not interested in them, but now God's chosen people are the church, basically. That is what, basically, replacement theology means. That God doesn't want anything to do with them over there anymore, but it's all about the church now. Now, from the things that we've been taught and heard over the last few months, and the different prophetic voices God has brought two or three times to do with Israel, and we know that's obviously not true, but a lot of that kind of thinking is in the church in our nation. There are other things going on in the life of the church, in the nation. People wanted to live their lives how they want to, bringing the world in so that we can try and relate to the world. And it brings compromise. It's basically worshiping something else other than the true living God. Now, God is red hot about sin. He hates it. He does not like looking at sin. God hates sin, and he wants to deal with it and cut it out of the church, because God wants the church in this nation, his bride in this nation, to be a pure bride, to be a pure people who will contend for the truth, who people who want to honor his name. Now, the word honor doesn't sound very strong, does it? If you say praise, come on, let's praise God, you know. But honor sounds honor. It doesn't sound like a strong, but actually, to honor God is to fear the Lord. To honor God is to revere him, is to have reverence. And in this story, there was no reverence for God. There was no honor of his name. Right in the middle, right in the tent of meeting, somebody dared to bring in a woman that shouldn't have even been in the camp because of coming from another nation and what God has said they can and can't do. I'm just going to read some things off the back of this now. In November 1917, the British government made a pledge to the Jewish people through the Balfour Declaration to help establish a Jewish national homeland in the territory then known as Palestine. After World War I ended, the League of Nations awarded Britain the mandate for Palestine with the proviso that the Balfour Declaration was implemented along with close Jewish settlement in the land. As difficulties arose, Britain gradually watered down her original commitment until the MacDonald White Paper of 1939 virtually closed the borders of Palestine to Jewish immigration. In the aftermath of World War II and the mandate in Palestine, the sun finally set on the great British Empire. Her status as the world superpower rapidly waned, and the nation has since fallen into moral decadence. The Forsaken Promise documents the failure of Britain and its appointed institutions and officials, whether military, administrative or political, to fulfill her pledge under the Balfour Declaration and her legal obligations under the mandate. It highlights a number of tragic events that took place during that period, mainly through the testimonies, this is what's on the DVD, mainly through the testimonies of people who were victims of those events, participants in them or eyewitnesses to them. They speak of Britain's political expediency and even treachery towards the Jewish people in appeasing the militant Arab nationalist movement, as well as causing the wholesale misery of many thousands of Jewish people who were turned away from the shores of Palestine in the 30s and 40s. And through the 1939 White Paper, the British government also made the deaths of an untold number of Jews who could have escaped Hitler's final solution. And they had been able to find refuge they would have been able to find refuge in their ancient homeland. Now, the purpose of this DVD is to help the church understand what God has said to our nation as a mandate from Him as to our responsibility as a nation towards what was Palestine then, that was set out to be, or the land that was designated to be the homeland for the Jewish people, has now become Israel, but obviously only 28% of that land is now Israel. But it's what we did as a nation, watering down or turning back or reneging on what that responsibility was. Now, as a result of what took place, particularly in the end of the 40s, 47, and just after, the British Empire, boom, started to fall apart very quickly. Why? Because we did not fulfill the call of God as a nation towards the nation of Israel. Therefore, the great British Empire began to fall apart very quickly. And there's a lot of the way society is in our nation now, whether morally, spiritually, that is going the way it is because as a nation, we have done the things we have towards God's people or the nation of Israel and what God wanted to do in terms of the land. Why? Because ultimately, the people that were making those decisions did not honor God. There was no fear of the Lord. There was no reverence of God. There was no understanding of the purposes of God. Now, God is speaking to us as a church, and we had David Davis here a few months ago. We had Chuck Cohen here last week. And we have various people who are part of the life of the church here who are involved a lot with the nation of Israel. Now, God is not pro the Jews and anti-Arabs. God doesn't take sides. God is on His own side. God loves the Jews. God loves the Arabs. Jesus came and died for every single person, whatever color, race, creed, whatever background, whatever nationality, whatever persuasion, whatever belief, Jesus came to die for every single person. So God is on His own side. And what God wants to do is line everybody, whether Jew, whether Arab or Muslim, whether Gentile, whatever, God wants to line up every person to His purposes. And as we've read in various scriptures in the New Testament, God is it's already happening with one new man taking place, both Jew and Gentile, coming together under God, worshiping together. It's like For that nation of Israel, it's like God's city set on a hill for that nation is to see Jew and Arab coming together, being born again, praising God, worshiping God, living together in that sense, going for the kingdom of God together. But as part of that, it's the responsibility as a nation that we have towards not just Israel, but towards God. Because at the end of the day, it's God's purposes. It's an honouring of God that we're talking about. And we've had a lot as a church over the years about holiness, seeking the Lord, being right with God, all that kind of stuff. And I suppose I said to the Lord a while ago, God, I want to live in holiness, and I want, as a church, you know, we want to be a holy people. But rather than just preaching about holiness, God, show us how you want us to be a holy people. What does that mean in practical terms? To do with the call and the purpose, the vision, to do with the nation. Yeah, we know if we're a holy people, then a holy people, you know, can reach an unholy people in that sense, if you know what I mean. But I said, God, what does that mean? Because we can talk about holiness, we can seek the Lord, we can revere who you are, but you always do that in the word in relation to your purpose. Not just so that we honour God, but also so that then that has an actual outworking. And for me, I don't just want to talk about Israel, but as just getting on that as a thing on its own. But one of the things that struck me last Sunday in the first meeting, and even more as Jay and I were reading about stuff and to do with Israel and God's purposes and what's happening in the Middle East over there, increasingly you just get a sense of, man, everything is so inextricably linked together. You can't separate anything from anything else. And I thought it was God's wisdom that he said to us, pray for your nation and pray for Israel in the same week. Now, why are we talking about honouring? What's that? What have I just said about Israel that's got to do with us now? Two things. One is there anything in our tent of meeting? Is there anything that we are putting up with, we have invited in, we are carrying on with or letting go on in our camp or in our tent of meeting, that we need to take hold of a spear and put it, the spear, right through? Where there's a lack of honour, where there's a lack of the fear of God, where there's a lack of understanding of the purposes of God, where, yes, we might glorify God, yes, we might praise God, but that honouring of his name, that fear of the Lord, personally in our own lives, as a church, and then to do with his purposes. Because clearly in that chapter in Numbers there, God didn't put up with any mixing, any mix of what was him and what was of something else. He doesn't want to put up with any compromise, that sort of stuff. And I don't know what you're like with your life or with your own heart, but I'm fairly tough on myself. Maybe some of you guys are as well, I don't know. But I'm fairly hard with myself as to keeping a check on what I do and don't do, or attitudes, or how I respond to something, you know. And I vet myself probably every day. Probably like you guys, you get up in the morning and when you spend time with the Lord, you want to make sure your heart is right, your attitudes are right. You give space to the Holy Spirit to show you anything to do with the way you're thinking about somebody else or other people, where you might have a wrong attitude, or where, you know, whatever it might be. You know, where God, I don't want, I suppose for me, if I have responsibility in the life of the church, then I suppose maybe for me there's more of an immediacy of God, I want to make sure that everything in my life, my attitudes towards the whole thing, where we're going, what we're doing is really kind of right. But then when you read in like Numbers 25 there, it talks about it was the whole nation that began to worship Baal and false things and get into this, that and the other. And God's anger burned against the whole nation. Now one guy burned with the zeal for the honour of his name. And that one man's zeal for the honour of his name was enough to put a spear through just one situation. There were many going on, but just one situation that came in right into the presence of God. Man, what audacity that bloke had who brought that woman in. Man, there was no fear of God whatsoever, was there? And yet, this other guy came with a spear, put it right through the problem. And at that moment, he said the plague stopped immediately. Now, this isn't just something we can just have a quick prayer and let's lay hands on everybody who's got the zeal of the Lord and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's not a quick zap and there you've got it. But in relation to the honouring of God, now we would all say we honour God, you know, but it's like God's putting his finger on something that he wants us to honour his name. There to be a humbling and a reverence for who he is. Not a can't do anything, can't move, can't do this, that and the other, you know. But it's a fresh sense of honouring him. Now, if we honour God, we will honour one another. We will honour leaders. We will honour each other, all that kind of stuff. But I feel we don't need to put the focus on you need to honour the leaders and do that for them and this and that and the other. You need to honour one another, all that. Because if we generally honour God, then we want to not just jut him out and give him prominence, but we want to humble ourselves and actually want to bring other people prominence and jut them out and give them esteem and in that way, in the right way with the right heart. Not just, you know. Let's all stand up, shall we? Because we need to pray. Hopefully I've communicated what was in my heart this morning to do with this. And I don't want it to be a heavy thing, you know, like, whoa, isn't it? You know, but it's like God's got purposes for the church in this nation. And there's some things in the middle of the church going on that we as the church have brought into the presence of God. One of those things is replacement theology. There's all kinds of other things where worldliness, lifestyle, all that kind of stuff has been brought into the life of the church. A lot has been put up with and is not being dealt with. And God is wanting to raise up people who honour his name, who fear him, who there's a reverence for God. But that doesn't mean we're all serious and it's a heavy thing. But there's an honouring that says, man, I don't want to put up with anything that could be brought into the camp or brought into the house of God that is going to affect the purposes of God, that's going to water down the purposes of God, like we read out on the back of this thing. You know, because there wasn't obedience, it watered down the purposes of God. Now, God is speaking not just to us as a church, but to the nation about the nation of Israel as well. And it's a hot potato, the whole thing. It's in the news every day. To do with that nation. Why? Because it's right in the centre of God's purposes. How many of you want to be like this guy? What's his name? Finehas. Finehas. Or Perhinehas. Let's just call him Jimbo, shall we? How many of you want to be like Jimbo? Goes in there with his spear and puts to death the stuff that is not right. But it starts in our own hearts, right? And I just, not, we haven't got time now. But I want to ask everybody this week, make a focus of this week to humble yourself before the Lord, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you get all heavy with yourself and search for every potential problem and issue that you try and find that you think you might have, but actually you're just giving yourself a hard time. But what I want us to do as a church is humble ourselves before the Lord this week. And when you get up in the morning, when you spend time with the Lord, whenever you do that, just to humble yourself before Him and revere Him. Come under His majesty. Come under His lordship. Bring everything, your attitudes, your motives, your desires, your longings, just relationships, whatever is going on, humble yourself afresh this week. Now, I'm not just talking about praying a few prayers, oh God, I humble myself and I bring all this under your lordship, but actually spend some time literally getting on your knees before the Lord, lying down flat on the floor, whatever, before the Lord. Because to worship actually means to bow down or to be prostrate without any words. To honour is actually to humble yourself in that sense to one that is greater. Because we could pray something now and all that, but I just feel God wants us to do something this week where we humble ourselves before Him, because He wants us to honour Him in a fresh way. What does that mean? We're coming under His authority, under His lordship. We're submitting ourselves to His word. Because His word is the truth. His word is the way. His word is the life. Because the word's Jesus, isn't it? But we want a fresh surrender as a body to the authority of God, to the word of God, to the lordship of Jesus. So there's like a fresh reverence, a fear of the Lord. Now, why are we talking about this morning? It's because there's loads of sin in the camp. Hopefully not. But we want to be vigilant. We want to be watchmen in our own lives. That we don't even give anything a hint. I mean, Paul talks about, don't, you know, with sexual immorality, don't even have a hint of sexual immorality. Well, I don't even want a hint of anything. Because once there's a hint of something, there's a glimmer of something that then tries to bring a wedge and open something up in your heart. And so we want to be vigilant. We want to deal with stuff. We want to, like in one sense, take a spear to things in our lives that might be going on, that you let the Holy Spirit show you. And that we're not talking about big weeping times, unless the Holy Spirit does that, about, oh God, I'm a sinner, I'm a mess, I'm just so unworthy and all that rubbish. You know, it's like, we just want to come and say, God, I want to humble myself, honour your name, fresh reverence and fear of God. I just want to meet with you, God. Let the weightiness of your presence come upon my life in a fresh way. Why? Because we want to be vigilant, because we don't want to let anything into the camp. And if there is, we want to kick it out. Amen. Maybe in your households, if you've got kids, it'd be great to spend some time this week with your kids, just talking about, let's honour God in our home together as a family. Let's honour Him. Maybe that'll mean adjusting a few things. Maybe switching a few programs off the telly that don't particularly honour Him. Maybe one or two bits of music that some people might listen to that don't particularly honour the Lord. Well, that's a bit heavy, isn't it? No, not really. Not if we have the bigger perspective of what are we feeding on. See, what you feed on is what you become. And so we want to feed on the things that are going to help us honour His name. What does honouring God do? It releases the presence of God. It releases the anointing of the Holy Spirit from our lives. You see, if people come to worship and praise God, but they have a very laissez-faire attitude, God's like, well, if you're like that, I ain't turning up. Whereas if a body of people come together and they're like, God, we want to meet you, we want to honour you, we want to glorify you, we're not here just to sing a few songs and just do the church thing because it's Sunday morning, but we're here to honour your name. See, then God's like, that. What does that do? It pulls down the presence of God. It doesn't make God make a decision. Oh, well, they're honouring me, so I'll turn up today. Oh, good. If there's an honouring there, fear of the Lord, a reverence, a just something that is there in us because we want God, it's like God can't help. He just, he's there. He turns up. He moves. Why? Because by honouring his name, it pulls down the presence and the glory of God. Amen. God at this time is helping us. It's such a dilemma sometimes, isn't it? Because we live our lives, we're reaching out to the local community in different ways. We want to touch lives, and but yet at the same time, God's talking about the nation, and as a body of people, what we're about and what we do is also to do with the nation, and it's about other nations, and it's like, you know, what level are we on? We're on all three, all at the same time. So don't separate in your mind, you know, the local bit, the national bit. It's all three, all at the same time. What we're like as a body here, week by week, is what goes out from here across the nation and beyond. What we do out in the community is all part of the call of God of what goes then out and beyond. There's no separation in his mind. So we want to be people to honour God because we want to honour God and because we want to be right in the full flow of everything he wants to do for our local area. But also, we are like this and want to do that because we want to see God move in the nation. We're like that and the way we are because we want to see God move in other nations. And God has given us the capacity to think and understand and to work on all those three different levels all at the same time because that's the call and purpose. Let's just pray, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are making the moves with us at the moment. You haven't said, if you do this, then I will do that. But you're making the moves. You're making the moves towards us. And it's like you're like a coach running alongside us saying, come on, come on, come on, guys, come on. See that end goal. See that race you're running. See the call. See the purpose. See what it's all about. Come on, come on, come on. Just give it everything you've got. Just go for my purposes. Come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. It's like that total encouragement. He's not there like a taskmaster with a whip going, come on, you lot. He's there like a coach saying, come on, come on, there's more, there's more, there's more. You can see the goal. You know what it's about. You have it in your spirit. You have an understanding in your mind as well. You see my purpose. You carry it. You run with it. You love it. You know there's something that you have, but you know there's something more also. And it's like that encouragement from the Holy Spirit at this time. So I want to ask you this week, that you would humble yourself before the Lord. That you would make time this week. It's like, not a project, but it's the main thing we're going to do this week as a church, as well as all the stuff we're doing in our everyday life. What we want to do is come and humble ourselves before the Lord. Say, God, we want to honour your name in a fresh way so that when we come back next week, there's a reverence and a fear of the Lord in this place. Because whenever there was the fear of God on that, on the nation of Israel, and they turned back to God, all the other nations were in fear of them around. And they had great victories. But when the nation started to compromise, that's when the other nations got confident and said, hey, we can take those people. And God allowed the nation of Israel to be oppressed at different times because of the state of the people. And that analogy, you know, we want to humble ourselves, honour the Lord, because that releases the presence of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, releases an authority in our lives because we're under his authority. It releases the word to work in powerful ways because we're under the lordship of his word and his spirit in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we recognise that you are massive, you are awesome. Your purposes are so much greater than ours, but we thank you that you have called us and chosen us to be part of your purpose. And Father, I choose right now, as I have when I was praying earlier, to honour you in my home, with my wife, with my kids. Honour you with, in relation to leaders, through to every person in the church, to honor you in the way I speak, the way I think, the way I pray. Father, to honor you and your purposes, the things that you say. Sometimes I'm like, man, that is so massive. How can I believe that? Yeah, because you've said it, Father, I humble myself and choose to honor what you've said over my understanding or my perceptions. Now this week, if God speaks to you about something that's not just personal to you, but you know needs to get resolved with somebody else, then you need to put that right. You need to put a spear through, not the other person, but you need to put a spear through that situation. If you have fallen out with somebody else, or there is tension going on, or there is friction, or there is something that has not been resolved, and you're kind of just living with it, and you think it's all their fault, they're not doing this, they're not, you need to go and make the first move. Put a spear through that and get things right. I don't want to say it nicely. No, just put it right and do all that. Put it right. If there is something not right in the body between people, we must put it right. Do not hang around and let that fester, because it affects all of us. So cut out the festering and cut out anything that you are, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you know is going on already. Some people, you might not even need the Holy Spirit, you just know it's going on anyway. Deal with it. Cut it out. Why? Because the purposes of God are so much greater than little tittle-tattle fallouts. God is, I'm sorry this is going on, but it's like, he is a holy God and he is raising up a holy people. And a holy people are people who live according to his word, according to his truth, people who humble themselves under his mighty name and say, how can we say we're following God if actually we're aware of things where we're not in right relationship or there's wrong things going on in our lives? We need to do our belt strap up, if you like, pull our trousers up a little bit, do our belt and say, come on, grow up and let me get this sorted. There's something much bigger at stake than my little thing here or there. Come on, church. Father, I thank you for the grace this week as we humble ourselves and as we meet with you, as you speak to us, as you encounter with us. We might be in our lounge, we might be in our study, we might even be in the car, we might be in our bedroom, we might be wherever in the conservatory, we might even be out in the garden, getting before you, and you just turn up and you deck us by your Holy Spirit. Father, that's what every one of us needs. Father, I believe you want to encounter us where we are on our own and not just have a great encounter together as a body. Father, I just sense you want to turn up and meet with us when we're on our own.
Amen. That's right. That's good. Yeah, that's right.
I just, you know, some people, you need to take responsibility for your spiritual life, for your walk with God, for decision making. As you before God, God's going to touch you, speak to you. Things are going to happen this week if you give God the time to do it. But don't wait for a feeling, any of us. When we're before God, as soon as you get on your knees before God, he's there. He's ready. He wants to move. You don't have to wait for a feeling or wait for the, you know. Sometimes because of the way we worship God, there's such an atmosphere that you're like, whoa, man, this is incredible. Sometimes on your own, you don't get that, but God is there just as present. As you get before God, it's like, just see yourself right before the throne. Say, God, I want to come before you. I want to honor you, lift you, glorify you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, come on, Lord, work afresh in my heart and my life. I want to bring myself under your lordship in every way. My thoughts, my emotions, my attitude, my desires, my longings, my heart, my spirit, my body, I just surrender it. It's a temple. I want it to glorify you. This week, if you know God puts his speech about something, you know something's going on, and you are finding it really difficult to resolve on your own, you need to talk to somebody, then please do not stay in any shame or guilt. Get hold of somebody that you trust. And if you're not sure to trust, then get hold of one of us, one of the pastors. Get hold of Gary. Get hold of Diane. Just phone. And we're not going to judge anybody. We want to help people live in the freedom. God doesn't judge, doesn't want to. He wants to set people free. Where, if there is a difficulty somewhere and you feel shame and guilt in whatever area, and you're like, man, I just can't. There's people that just don't even know that. Man, that's why we're a body. So we can stand with people, help people to come out of any restrictions and all that stuff, come into freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just make a decision in your heart now that this week you're going to humble yourself and come before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sorry, we've gone quite a bit over time. But just take a seat briefly.